You are listening to episode 121 on the Africana Woman podcast, Rising to the Top with Jackie Megiddo. My name is Chulu, your host. Let's go. Hello, beautiful. Happy International Women's Day. Kwena. Hey, there is a lot going on today. I don't even know how you are picking what you're going to do because there's so many good programs. All in all, have a fantastic day celebrating being woman. I am personally attending a webinar which is hosted by Phenomenal Women Global, and this is with We Three Queens of Africa. Love those women. Absolutely love them. So that's today, 8th of March. The registration link is in the show notes. And then on Sunday, 10th of March, I will be part of the Africa Women's Day quarterly panel discussion talking about innovation in entrepreneurship. Again, the registration link is in the show notes. I hope you can join us. Today's conversation is with the international makeup artist and educator, the sensational Jackie Megiddo. What is not to love about Jackie? She is an open book, and I love her passion for people and women in particular. So let's jump into the conversation. Enjoy.
Jacqueline Megiddo is a renowned celebrity makeup artist, stylist, entrepreneur, and CEO of Jackie Megiddo Cosmetics, an international makeup company with locations in Zimbabwe, Los Angeles, Uganda, and Kenya. Jackie's artistry, dynamic personality, and passion for excellence have enabled her to amass an impressive clientele for critically acclaimed artists, including Denzel Washington, Gayle King, Neil Patrick Harris, John Legend, Sylvester Stallone, Jane Lynch, Snoop Dogg, Vanessa Hudgens, Ted Danson, George Lopez, and Jamie Foxx. Her work has been featured in media campaigns for Louis Vuitton, Elle, and Forbes magazine, and on film and television, including MTV and the Billboard Music Awards, The Real Housewives of Orange County, All My Children, Another World, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and the Academy Awards. Now, as we speak further, we're going to learn much more about Jackie, but I am so excited to welcome her to the Africana Woman, Mike. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am good. I'm melting in this heat.
Oh, it's hot. Well, first of all, I am so excited to come onto this platform. Everything about women, I love supporting. Thank you for having me. And it is pretty cool in California right now. I mean, the weather's beautiful.
Ah, where do you stay? North or Southern California?
Southern California. I stay in Playa del Rey, in the heart of Hollywood.
Ah, nice. So I always start the conversations with this question, which is, what is your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory would be living in Tenwald and talking to my dogs.
What type of conversations were you having? Were they responding? What was going on?
So I lived in Tenwald, and I lived with an extremely strict father. And my older sisters had gone to, you know, the UK and the States, and my brother stayed in Bulawayo. And I was very lonely. And because my dad was really strict, I hardly had friends that came over to Tenwald, which was like far out of Harare. So nobody came to see me. So the animals were a big part of my life, especially my dogs. They responded, I feel. I mean, I was a kid that talked, to myself a lot. So my dogs would respond to me. You'd be so amazed how animals are, really. They do respond. They feel you, especially dogs.
Now, Guys, as we are recording this, tomorrow is Jackie's birthday. So just wanted to make sure that I said happy birthday. And please, this lady just looks so fabulous for the age that she is turning. And I'm like, I need to know, what do you do?
50, 50. First of all, I can't even believe I'm turning 50. I think it's been a mistake, guys. Because I don't feel it. I really feel like a kid. I'm such a kid at heart. What is the secret? The secret is to use your imagination. I use my imagination a lot. I dance a lot. I work out. And I just laugh a whole bunch. And of course, Jackie Mugino makeup cannot live without this makeup, okay? Because I'm a different person. My husband just saw me just now and he goes, you really clean well. Clean up well. I'm like, thanks. Yeah.
That's how are you secret. Celebrating your birthday?
So the whole thing was I wanted everybody to kind of like forget about it and we all ignore it. And then all of a sudden I just kind of go into it. This is how I was celebrating my birthday. But my husband said something really interesting to me today. He was like, oh yeah. So I know I'm working tomorrow. So he's like, yeah. So we're just going for a quiet dinner. So I don't know what that means, but really, I just want to chill out. That's really what I want to do and not make a big deal of it.
Yeah. Oh, but I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous day and to Thank many, you. Many more years. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right. So you grew up in Zimbabwe, as you mentioned. What was yeah. that like? Yeah, your dad was very strict and, you know, you're at home alone a lot. But just tell us a little bit more about, I don't know, what really excited you about Zimbabwe?
So everything about Zimbabwe, you know, I think the combination of the strictness, the going to all girls school. So I went to all girls school in Harare. I went to Queen Elizabeth School first. And then I went to Evelyn. It was the environment of us not being allowed to date. And then you start dating guys on the phone. And since you're not allowed to see them, we would get on the phone. You know, I know the generation doesn't know about tapping because we would tap the phone in order for us to talk to people. And it was the little secrets behind it, the all the things that right now all the kids are allowed that we weren't allowed to do, which made it even more exciting. And, you know, going out when we weren't supposed to go out, being seen for like 2 seconds and people thinking, who is she and where is she from? It was amazing. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
Everything about it, all the things that the kids are allowed to do that we weren't allowed to do, well, I wasn't allowed to do, that's what made it exciting for me because when we did do it, it felt special. So yeah. It was great. Yeah.
So when you were in school, were you like talkative or, you know, how would you say?
Let me tell you, I'll tell you a little story. I was actually telling my daughter this. So I have a really good friend of mine that's a dentist. And the other day he posted veneers, right? And so when I was in school, I used to always talk like this all the time. And I used to always laugh like this all the time. My two front teeth, I fell when I was like 8 years old. I was such a tomboy. And my front teeth fell and I didn't have front teeth. And then when my dad took me to the dentist, they put in two fake front teeth in the front. And when I was in high school, I was going to Queen Elizabeth and my dentist was in Harare and going to Evelyn and Evelyn was in Bulawayo. My dentist was in Harare. And the dentist put in the caps and they fell out. They would fall out. I know. So here I was in a new school where people didn't really know me. And I was trying to figure out, because the dentist is like, I can only see you after the term is over. And he would give me one or two things to glue in the two front teeth that would fall out at any moment. And the anxiety that was going through that made me a little bit more of an introvert, but I just wanted to laugh so much. So I would always laugh like this all the time. And I would have incidents where the two front teeth would fall out, and then I would pick them up and glue them on with different things, and nobody really knew what was going on. So it was full of anxiety. I promise you, the last 2 years of high school were awful. Because I had these anxiety-driven teeth.
Oh my God.
So I was just so, it was traumatic, you know? So I tended to be kind of like a little bit on the shy part, but at the same time, it also helped me be more imaginative and come up with solutions in order for me to be able to present myself in front of people.
Yeah.
I know. Pretty traumatic, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that is traumatic. I can't even. So, but when did you get it like sorted permanently now?
I got it sorted permanently. So after the 3 months, I got it put on, but it kind of looked weird. And then I got it permanently sorted when I was in form four, you know, and then I got it done again right before I left for the United States and I was 18. Mm-hmm. And my dad used to always say, these teeth cost us so much money. And can I just tell you, there's nothing like a smile. So everybody sees me smiling. It's because I'm happy, but because I didn't have the opportunity to smile, really genuinely smile. So now I'm just like all the time.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so then you finished high school and you found yourself in the States. I think it's in St. Louis.
Yes, I landed in St. Louis, which was not the America that I was promised. Mm. You know how we always imagine like America or different places in our heads before we leave because of the TV? Oh no. St. Louis was just, St. Louis would be the equivalent of going to a small town when you live in Harare. Literally. So I moved there and I was supposed to be a vet and I was going to go to college for it. I didn't last long in college because my attention span was this much. I was just an artist and I couldn't do it. So I ended up moving to Philadelphia, where I got married very early. I moved to America when I was 18. I got married when I was 20. And I started living with my in-laws and I started going to school. And I went to cosmetology school where I learned how to do hair and nails and pedicures and facials. And then I started working behind a counter doing makeup, but I just kind of felt like I needed more. I used to work for Clarins Cosmetics and I worked for them as a trainer for a very long time. And then my husband was like, I know you want more. I think that we should move to Hollywood and see if we can go to a school that does makeup and different genres. I'd never even heard of half of the makeup that was there. Like you would do special effects makeup, which is prosthetics, and then you would do beauty makeup. And I started doing that. And then I started working for free and I landed into Hollywood.
So when you say you're artistic, how did that present itself? Did you used to draw, paint? How was your artistry reflected then?
I used to draw a lot. I used to draw in classes. And also, I think my movements of who I was as a person, I just didn't think like a typical kid that would be in Zimbabwe thought. Like, I always thought outside, even though I'd never been outside, but my imagination was beyond what the typical kids around me thought of. So it was reflected in my actions, but also reflected in my, you know, my artistry as in drawing as well.
You still draw?
You know, I do when I do special effects, but not, I don't draw, you know, like I used to. And I really want to get back into it because I'm doing more and more. I'm going back into special effects a lot more. I do a show once a year that is very involved with special effects, but it's only lasts a month. But now I'm doing more special effects in Zimbabwe. So I'm back to drawing because you have to start drawing. And also, you know, drawing just kind of gives me a little bit more relaxation. So yeah, I'm going back into it.
Nice. So what was, like you said, you know, you find yourself in Hollywood and it's like, oh, wait, like makeup has so many different genres. Like it's very layered and, you know, it's not just what we expect. So what is your favorite genre? What surprised you most?
So my transforming people to who they really are. That is my favorite. So for example, if somebody gives me a canvas, like for example, I don't know if you wear makeup, but it doesn't really look like you wear makeup right now. So when I come across somebody like you, I'm like, what? They're beautiful already, but I can just imagine showing all their features, because a lot of times when you don't have makeup, the whole point of wearing makeup is to accentuate your features, not to change who you are. So if your eyebrows don't really show, then I come in and I, you know, show your eyebrows. If the shape of your eyes don't really show, then I come in and show the shape of the eyebrows. You know, your skin, your smoothness of the skin, the lips, that, and then seeing somebody going, wait, who is that? And me going, it is actually you, God given you. It's just that you weren't really seeing your features. And now we get to see your features. So it's like wearing that dress and people don't really see your structure, and putting on a dress that really brings in your structure. That's really what makeup is on the face. So that's really amazing. And then also transforming somebody into completely somebody else using prosthetics. That to me also, you know, plays a big part, and I love doing that a lot. Yeah. And if, for people that don't know what prosthetics are basically things that you would use on the face so that you can be something completely different. So that's what it is.
I forgot what the name of the show is, but there's a show on Netflix, which is like a makeup show, which I absolutely love watching. I don't know if you've seen it. What is it called?
Yes, I know it. Shoot. Yeah, I just had a glam. I forget what it's called, but
you know the one, right? There's one season where there was a lady of Asian descent, and like her symmetry was just mind blowing. She did it freehand. I'm just like,
how
are people like this talented? Absolutely.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's beautiful. I get fascinated all the time. And one of my biggest things is going back home to Zim and introducing this whole world that a lot of people don't even know about, and just them being amazed at what you can do with somebody's face.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
So what would you say, what was your, I guess, your path in terms of growing your career in this makeup space? More in the phase of, you know, becoming renowned and having this amazing clientele list. What was that journey like? Because I think when people see someone like you, right, they're just like, okay, I'm going to pack my bags, go to LA, and then boom, yes, I've made it. I'll go to class, and then I'm with the clients.
I wish it happened like that. Wouldn't we all do it? So the interesting part about it is when people take any courses, even in college, trade schools or whatever it is, right? In the beginning, we have this imagination of what we really want to be, and we think it's really easy, and we just go into it and just do it. And then all of a sudden, when we're doing the class, we're like, that's not really what I wanted to do. So for example, in my class, I think we had 24 people in the classes on and on throughout the year. And right now, probably 5 people are actually in the industry and actually doing what they really love, right? So my path was a path of really interning, relationships. It wasn't even that I would be excellent at what I was doing. It was all about humbling yourself and having the willingness to be patient enough to work and then being referred because people have seen that you have come and learned, you've respected their craft and you've given them their flowers. And now you can move on and do something else and continue to give them their flowers because you always want to go back and learn a lot more things. And for me, it's all been about that. I never want to take credit for, so I always want to give credit back to people that have taught me. So like, for example, I went to Makeup Designer, which is my school. Man, that school gave me my career, you know, in everything, just how I perform and how I approach things, you know, and that has helped me throughout my career. You know, I've been in this game for what, 25 years, you know, and seriously been in Hollywood for 20 years and still the only African makeup artist in Hollywood, the whole continent. I'm still the only one, you know, for 20 years. And recently somebody was just asking, how come there's no Africans that come in and do beauty makeup and special makeup and work in Hollywood? We either see them, you know, doing one or two celebrities' beauty makeup, like maybe somebody's at a concert or something, but they never come into Hollywood to do film and TV. And I think a lot of it has to do with one, exposure, and also having somebody like myself saying, hey, I'm African, I'm here, and this is what I do. Representation matters, right? So all those things are a big deal. And also, again, being patient enough to get to that level of expertise.
How much time do you think you need to get to the, you know, that level of expertise? Because I know, like, let's say a baker and stuff like that, they usually say you need to put in like 1,000 hours or, you know, or make that croissant 1,000 times before you become that expert. So what would be that that thing that tells you like, okay, I'm at least at a good certain level, you know?
Probably 5 years. And be consistent in what you do for exactly 5 years. Right? There's this I realize, especially now looking at the industry and looking at different industries, right? Because you see people come in and they kill it the first year and they're killing it, then they just die down within 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is. And you're like, well, what happened? And it is almost like having that house that's not built on a foundation. It looks beautiful. You live in it for a little bit and then all of a sudden it starts breaking down and you're like, it has just been built. And that's really within the careers of what we do, right? I notice it, you know, in Zimbabwe. I've trained so many makeup artists. People have come through my store, you know, and I always know the ones that are going to make it within the first 2 weeks of when they're with me. And I always know the ones that are going to hit it and do really great the first year, the first, second year, and then they just die down. And it's always pretty obvious because it's always the ones that want to make it tomorrow. And the ones that are patient and want to learn and continue to learn are the ones that stay consistent.
Well, you've been in, like you said, you've been doing this for 25 years. In 25 years, the styles have changed. When it comes to makeup, I remember when my mom used to do her makeup, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then compared to what we have right now, but how do you stay relevant? How do you make sure that, hey, I still know what is exciting relevant in pop culture, you know?
So the truth is nothing is new under the sun. It always repeats itself and camellializes itself like a chameleon. You know, a chameleon is a chameleon and all it's doing is changing colors, correct? That's the same thing with makeup. There's a foundation to makeup and there's certain things that start somewhere and everything else is changed in color and also goes back to the original. So where I stay relevant is one, opening up myself to learning from the kids around me that are doing things, you know, looking a lot on social media and also just staying in the game of, you know, humbling myself and saying, you know what, I want to learn more. What am I going to learn? And going into any lessons, I actually just went back to my old school and I'm fascinated with these young kids. And when I start doing new stuff that they're doing, you know, and I see myself going back to the fundamentals. So I always go back to the fundamentals and then I add on to what, you know, the newer generation is doing, the new things that are coming up. But what's really great is just really knowing that nothing is new under the sun, honestly. If you know the fundamentals, and that's the great part about going to school, you'll know that you can always go back to the beginning in order for you to do anything that's creative out there.
So, you know, when at the beginning I was reading your bio and you have quite a number of male celebrities that you work with. And obviously, you know, you're coming from like a place like, you know, Zambia, Zimbabwe, you know, Africa, where men don't typically wear makeup, you know. But I know like in cultures like Southeast Asia, you know, in Korea, where men are like very big on cosmetics and things like that. But I'm very curious about what type of enhancing would you do on a man?
So the reason why I work with men a lot is because I always give the illusion that they're not wearing makeup and they love that about me, right? So with men, it's the point is not for them to cover and make their skin very smoothly. For them, it's to just kind of hide the imperfections that would distract you when you're watching anything that they're doing on TV. So like, for example, dark circles under the eyes, most of the time I don't completely take them off because that is what gives the masculinity of a man and his character, right? The darkness under his eyes gives that deep set, gives that masculinity and it looks amazing. It's very sexy. When you start covering their eyes completely, the eyes become a little bit small. They become more feminine. You really don't want to do that. So it's lightly covering it enough for you to not be so distracted that you won't listen or see what they are doing on television, right? And then also to clean them up and make them look clean for the part that they'll be working on. So like, for example, giving them a little bit of edges around their hairline, that can also be very distracting. And also a lot of times I get hired to put them into the character that they are acting as, you know. So somebody comes to me and they're really, really a pretty boy and they're doing a scene where they're supposed to be maybe really poor and have gone through life. I get hired to actually take them into that character. So you, the audience, is not questioning at home and going, what? That guy does not look like he's been working out in the streets for so many years, right? You want to be able to see their hands. You don't want to look at the hands and be like, they got such feminine hands. What do you mean he's been a minor? His hands are just as pretty. So that is when it comes to male makeup, it's not feminizing them. It's basically putting them into character.
Hey, sis. Just wanted to stop the conversation for a little bit. Yes, I'm talking to you who's listening. So quick question. Have you watched our free masterclass called From Stuck to Unstoppable yet? No? You should. I highly recommend you go watch it. You will find it on AfrikanaWoman.com. One of the things I spoke about to the ladies is that it is so easy to pray to God for a miracle in our life. And yet when you actually study the scripture, the miracles in the Bible, you will find that the person being blessed had a role to play in their miracle. There was always an instruction, go do this, and you're doing it in faith and belief, right? Please go check it out. Check out any miracle. So instead of praying, God, send me a miracle, and just sitting back, your prayer should ask for revelation of what your role is in your miracle, because you have to play an active role in the transformation that you are seeking in your life. We can support that transformation in our personal brand course. Take a journey of self-discovery and find your voice. Become unstoppable. This year, we have 4 cohorts, so there's no reason why you should miss out. And we also have payment plans, so reach out, find out more information on AfrikanaWoman.com. Back to the episode.
So, you know, from your story, your husband is very supportive of your career, and, you know, pushing you to go even further. What is his background? Is he in the industry as well? Like, what has that dynamic been like?
So he's definitely not in the industry. He is, he does information systems. He's super smart. You know, he's one of those smart ones. So he does mostly information systems, and he's the one that kind of helps with the makeup side, like with the orders and making sure our website works and stuff like that. But he has a full-time job as doing information systems.
Now, you are a very busy woman. You have a cosmetics line. You're also doing makeup with all of these fabulous people. You're training people. And your cosmetics line is in multiple countries. How do you find the time to get all of this done? But I think more so, if we look at the business side, how do you ensure quality control, you know, in terms of customer service and all of that kind of stuff?
So, you know, I love that you asked that, because during COVID, we were actually affected by that. So I kind of slowed down in other countries, and right now I'm coming back to the basics, because I saw myself stretching myself out, and we got into a whole bunch of finances that we couldn't really afford to be in other countries. So right now we basically online, and we sell in America and Canada, and we mail to England, even though it's expensive. And I know all the people in Europe are like, it's so expensive, Jackie. I get it. We now have partnered up and are on Amazon, but we Amazon America, and we're looking at Amazon Europe. In Africa, you know, I'm so passionate about Zimbabwe. That's my hometown, right? And my philanthropy work there is where it helps me keep the customer service and all that stuff, because as I'm training people, my studio has become a training ground. And I have my sister that helps me out, and then I also have a store manager. So my sister's here in the States, and she's on it. She wants the customer service to be as great as we have customer service here. And so we always on the students that are in the store in order for them to perform, because our main objective is for them. If they perform in the store, then they'll be able to do that when they are out there as their own professionals. So that has helped quite a lot. And I'm also really active on my social media. I mean, I do miss people, but for the most part, I try and take time out to just really cater to the audience. And I'm very passionate about my customers, you know, and I do miss things. I mean, I have, you know, my husband, and I have, you know, a couple people that also help me with that, but I'm really passionate about it. And so I try and keep up to date with it. So I'm just on it, you know, I'm just on it, you know, and I have a team of people that also help me out as well.
Yeah. How often do you go back home?
About 3 to 4 times a year. This year, I think this is going to be my 5th time. I'm leaving in like a week and a half. Yeah.
Nice. And do you travel with your family, or you just, or it's only on some occasions?
So I would love to travel with my family, but now my daughter is 16 years old and Oh. she is the busiest child ever. I think she's more busy than me. I'm just like, what is happening? So every single time I'm like, Mumu, can we go to Zimbabwe for the summer? You know, like if we can coincide my trips. And she's like, Mommy, I'm so busy. And I'm just like, okay. She's busy with camping. She does gymnastics. So she's got her whole life, but we are definitely going to Zimbabwe together. It's just that the times when I'm working on set, I shoot a lot of the shows, you know, and when I have a break from shooting, that's when I go and she's still in school and my husband has to be here for her.
How have you been, I guess, helping her to be rooted to, you know, Zimbabwe? And do you still have like a sibling in Zim?
I do have siblings in Zim.
Yeah.
And I have cousins that are siblings as well in Zim. So I still have family in Zim. You know, the truth is I've done a really bad job trying to keep her rooted in Zim. Like I did a horrible job where she was born a preemie and I was so afraid to teach her any other language because I didn't feel that she had the capacity to learn both languages. She was born at 27 weeks. And so I was just always very sensitive not to confuse her and just say, listen, she's in America. She's going to learn how to speak English. This is where she lives. This is where she's going to operate. So I did really horrible with that. And I totally regret that. But, you know, I think because for the love that I have for Zimbabwe, she automatically loves Zimbabwe. You know, it's so funny because when she was graduating, people call her Munya Munya, and she was graduating from seventh grade, and she asked her teacher to be called Munyaradz, and I was just like, oh, this is amazing. So for me, that showed that there's something brewing. There's a heart that she has for Zimbabwe there. And she gets so proud when her little friends at school, somebody mentions Zimbabwe. She's like, yeah, my mom is from there. I'm from there too. So, you know, I'm happy about that.
That's so sweet. I love that. Yeah, when you're talking about names, it just made me remember. One of my names is Tendai. I'm from Zambia, but my grandmother was living in Zimbabwe the time that I was born. So when they were giving me names, she gifted me the name Tendai. So people always get confused. They're like, but she,
how? From? How?
Yeah.
I know. Zambia, Zimbabwe, we just one people, you know?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, I know when you had first started the business, which you had formerly called Vault, and I wondered why you had the name Vault, and it's now Jackie Megiddo, but you invested $100,000 and then you lost a significant amount. What happened there? And how did you recover? Because I feel like people, you know, they get so discouraged so easily, you know, like, oh, there's this pitfall. I lost so much money. And then it's like, I give up. I can't do this anymore. But that's like big numbers.
So that's very big numbers. And guess what? You lose even more. So in the beginning, when I first started the brand, I didn't understand Africa. I didn't understand how to do business in Africa. And remember, I'm an artist, so I didn't know about business, you know? I did a lot of things wrong because I didn't want to read. I didn't want to study. I just wanted to go in, sell my stuff, and be out. That's what I wanted to do, you know? Because that's not my forte. So, and then I didn't understand the market in Zimbabwe. And I also didn't understand the market in Africa, period. When I entered Zimbabwe, nobody really was wearing that much makeup. People were wearing three things. They were wearing black liner, they were wearing wrong foundation, and they were wearing black liner or brown liner and gloss or Vaseline. That's it, right? The people that were wearing blush and all that stuff are people that would have traveled outside the country. And even at that, they looked crazy, right? And then there were women who were in department stores and they would wear makeup. And those are the only people that were wearing, again, because there was lack of exposure and knowledge and the right products, right? So when I came in, I thought I was just going to rock it. I thought I was just going to arrive and outsell this makeup and be like, this is great. I'm done. I can continue. But when I entered, people were like, who is she? What is this? And then there was a cultural conflict. And then I also came across Zimra that I didn't understand. So I lost a lot of money there. I didn't know anybody. Africa is all about connection. Nobody was willing to help me because they didn't even understand what I was doing. I was new at this. And I also didn't understand my customer. So for me, I thought, and I was told by friends of mine, you need to come into Zimbabwe and you need to cater to the really rich people, right? But what I didn't realize with the really rich people is that, you know, as Africans, when you get money, you also get a complex, right? One, you want to show people that you have arrived. Yeah, hey, I've got this money. You know, when people say, oh, the people are very quiet with their money, it's not that they're loud. It doesn't matter whether you're quiet or loud. It's your actions that show it, right? So the more you have European things, the more you look successful. The more you have things from the outside, the more you look successful, because that means that you've traveled. That means that you are exposed. And why would you ever support the things that are in Zimbabwe and that are local? So I came across that. So those people also didn't believe in me and they didn't understand. And they're like, wait a minute, she's Zimbabwean. She's got a makeup line. Whatever. That's impossible, right? Because there was no representation. No one had ever done that before. So they weren't even going to believe it. And then when I did my launch and nobody bought anything, in fact, there's only one person that bought a $12 lip gloss. People came, people ate, they had a good time. And the only person that was suffering there was me because I'm the one that had spent all this money, right? So you had a crowd of people, but I had zero money and I'd spent all this money on the launch as well, trying to impress the very people that actually don't really believe in me. And they don't believe in the brand. And they're looking and they're going, why would I pay $12 for this lip gloss? And it's in Zimbabwe by a Zimbabwe where I can go and to London and spend $12 on a brand that is white. For them, it's a logic right there, which I completely understand because guess what? It's common, right? Because it's part of the colonization process. So I lost money there. And then I had rented a place and you write a lease. So you're putting money in there. And then of course, it's a long lease. If you cut it, you're still losing the money. They can come out and sue you. And I started off with a branded company. So I didn't manufacture it. It was manufactured. All I was doing was putting my name, and that's how I first started. So of course, the wholesale prices are even higher, you know, because it wasn't my brand. It was, I'm just co-signing my name on it. So all those things came into play. And the expenses came into play. And nobody had educated me. It had never been done before. So nobody could educate me. So I lost a lot of money, a whole bunch of money. And what kept me going is one of the Zimbabwean women who was extremely successful in the cosmetic industry had told me I'm going to fail, had told me I'm crazy to be doing this. So because, and I don't blame her. I mean, at first I do blame her, and I was very angry at her for a very long time because I was just like, we women, you're supposed to support us. But I know that she was also fearful. Like, who's this young girl coming into town and trying to disrupt us? You know, because I was coming to disrupt everything and coming to question everything that was there already. And so that kept me going, right? I was like, I can lose everything, but this is going to push me because I have something to prove. But really, it was when I went into Mbare. I did a Mbare makeover. And these are people that don't have, and they were interested. And I was like, they're interested. I really don't have the right stuff. I'm going to go back to the drawing table and see if I can personally manufacture the stuff. So I came back to the States, lost more money in manufacturing because there's no money. In fact, you lose a lot more money in manufacturing. And went back to Zim with something different. Now I had my own line, and Zimbabwean women were really supporting and helping me explore that line. And the reason why I called it Vault is because I was so afraid to start this brand in Zimbabwe. I was afraid to be judged. I was afraid to fail. And I felt like a vault would be me opening up myself, opening up the vault for everybody to see who I am and to expose myself. And the very things that I was afraid of came true. It looks like I actually manifested the stuff, and it really happened, right? I really failed. I really went broke. Everything that could have happened. Everything that I was afraid of, people saying this, people saying that, happened. And what has kept me going is the women that actually do believe in me. These women that are just like, help us. It's changing our lives. It's changing who we are. And we want to learn more. And that is what keeps me going. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that you shared that so openly, because a lot of people wouldn't want to talk about, you know, those hard times. I've heard you tell the story of, you know, when you, I don't know how to say it, Mutare? Where is it again?
Mutare. Which one? Mutare or Mbare?
Mbare. I think Mbare. It's Mbare, where there was a lady who said, I want to support you, I want to buy it.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't, well, you know, she couldn't afford it. So when you eventually told her, she was like, well, I'm just going to stay with my makeup on my face for as long as it will last. So how did you, or what have you done in terms of like the costing? So when you've manufactured, is this something that people are able to, you know, somebody like her can afford now?
So somebody like her can afford if they put money aside for a bit. So what we've done is now that I have and have created my own foundation, I've created a foundation that is adaptable to weather, and I've also created a foundation that lasts. So the average woman has my foundation in their house for 6 months. Yeah, 6 whole months. That definitely has not helped me economically. In fact, I've lost a lot more money because, you know, the average makeup company wants you to buy a bottle every month and a half, right? That's why you have liquid foundations and, you know, they're smaller. And if they're more liquid, they're more likely not to stay on. So you put a lot more, you use a lot more, you go and buy. My foundation is you put it on, it covers, you only use a little bit, it lasts longer. And this is where I pretty much weighed the coins. And like I said, I'm more of a philanthropist than a business person at this point. You know, I just want to service. I just want to do something that is absolutely amazing.
I think I saw on your website, there was like an option to pay in like installments, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's for America.
I don't think I've seen that before, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting thing. That's I like that it's actually available.
Yes.
I guess as we are winding down, I feel like I have lots of questions, but anyway. What would you say has been your biggest lesson, I guess, in all that you have done, you know, from your amazing career to now going in business? You know, you're going in business and you're doing all of this stuff. Even like, you know, being a parent and a wife at a very young age, like what has been like that one lesson where you're like, this has really kept me going?
Trying to not take people who are immediately in my circle for granted, because, you know, when you grow up a life where you want to please, you know, I grew up a life where I wanted to please a lot because of a lot of things that had happened, and I was that kid, right? Wanting to do good. So what tends to happen is I'm like, well, the people immediately that love me here are here. So I need to go and please the people out there so that they can come into the circle. So now the older I'm getting is I keep reminding myself that it's not the 1,000 customers. It's not the cousins and the friends that I don't really keep in touch with. It's really the people that are my cheerleaders here now, that think of me, that are with me. And I need to put effort in them and not take them for granted. So that's been my biggest lesson. And that's such a learning lesson for me.
Amazing. So in the Africana woman community, we have a saying, which is know your roots, grow your purpose. So I have 4 questions for you, and just tell me whatever comes to mind. So the first question is, what are you rooted to?
God.
And then what are your favorite ways to nourish your mind, your body, and your soul?
Laughter and music.
Then do you have a weakness that has now become a superpower?
Ooh. People pleasing.
How is it a superpower now?
Because it has exposed me to so many people, because a lot more people approach me because I'm friendly, and that has helped me see the people that have good tensions and the people that don't have that much good intentions. And now I'm able to decipher and use my superpower of, you know, being able to detect the energies, because I've been exposed to so many energies. I've let so many energies in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what do you know as a certainty?
That prayer works. That's my certainty. And that I am absolutely enough.
That is so beautiful. I love that. Jackie, how do people find out more about what you're doing? How do they support you? Where do we get this foundation that we will not fall with this melting that's going on right now?
Oh my gosh. So in Zambia, I actually have a young lady who I absolutely love. She's a makeup artist and she carries our foundation. So what I'm going to do is give you her information so you can put it up. So I, you know, I won't make a mistake. She's awesome. You're going to love her. In Zimbabwe, you know, we have the Volt Studio and I'm always on Instagram because I work out and I inspire people in working out. So you can always get hold of me there. I will see your message. If I don't see it in 2 days, I'll see it in 3 days, but I'll see it completely. So, and my Instagram, I know you're going to put it up. It's basically Jackie Mugido, you know, cosmetics. Yeah. Facebook is the same. All my handles are the same. And get hold of me there. You know what? I reply everybody and I have weird conversations with different people on there. People like come to me and come and confess different things and I become a therapist. I told you it's that. It's that, you know, I have women, I have men on there. And it's so funny because I've become this whisperer, especially for guys that are going through it. It's pretty amazing, you know. They just sometimes want to come online and say, I have nobody else to tell this secret to, and I just want to tell it to you. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So yeah, so get a hold of me there.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you again. Thank you so much. You know, guys, the time difference is quite large, and we were trying to figure out when we'd be able to do this conversation. And I'm so glad we managed to pin down a time. And I know that you're a very busy person, but I really do appreciate you. I feel like we've learned so much from you. And again, happy birthday from Africa.
Thank you. You guys are. It's going to be my birthday in a couple of hours there.
Yeah, it's just a few more hours, 3 more hours.
Oh my God. So 3 more hours, I'll be 50. Oh. Thank you, my love. Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
What I loved most about Jackie is that she is exactly the way you see her on socials, on TV. I don't know where else you see her, but listen, she is a ball of energy and good vibes. We just started our personal brand cohort 2, and one of the things we spoke about is how it can get so tiring to put on a persona, right? Sometimes we think that we have to pretend to be somebody else. We create a character, a personality who we think people will like, who we think people want us to be, and that's what we put out to the world. But that's actually not who we are. And I'm telling you, you will get tired. The act will fade at the wrong moment. So it is so much better for you to show up everywhere exactly the way you are. I mean, there is so much power in just being yourself and authentically yourself. That's what people are drawn to, right? The other thing that I want to bring to your attention, because you might have missed it from the conversation, is how Jackie did a lot of free work. When she was coming up in the industry, you know, she did a lot of networking and it gave her access to learn from the best. And she invests a lot of time and energy into nurturing relationships, which has also propelled her career to where she is now. It is so easy to see the glitz and the glam of Hollywood and want that for ourselves, and yet we're not willing to commit to the journey required to get to the top. The other thing she did was move in proximity to her dream. Her dream was to be a celebrity makeup artist. Therefore, she moved to Hollywood. Again, are you willing to do what is required of you to get to the top? Guys, I would love to hear what you thought about this episode. And you know what time it is. Please give Jackie her roses. Find her on Instagram at Jackie Mugido Cosmetics. Follow her, buy her products, support our sister. Eh? And did you hear her? Her foundation lasts for 6 months. And it can withstand this crazy weather we're going through. So please, get a bottle, okay? Get yourself some products. Tell her you heard her on the Africana Woman podcast and let her know what you learned. The best way to support Africana Woman is to share the podcast. Sis, we love you so, so much for helping us spread this movement. You can also find us across all social medias at Africana Woman. Until next week, my name is Chulu, your host. The Africana Woman podcast is part of the